Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great job, Sarah, and congratulations to Jen. All right, time now for our play-by-play call of the day. And because of Russell Westbrook, Matt Pinto gets a lot of run on this show.
Jump pass, corner right to Hayward, wide open for three. It's up short. Loose ball, Westbrook. Russell looks to run, 18 seconds. Down the lane, to the rim, lays it up, lays it in, and he's fouled going up.
Matt Pinto with the call. Another Russell Westbrook moment. Russ gets a few, doesn't he? Along the way. He's done well. He's a triple-double almost every night. It's kind of like watching Sean in the mean streets of Mill Hall playing hoops. Yeah. Sean's a triple-double just waiting to happen.
I'm a city guy. I'm a Lock Haven guy, man.
Oh, I forgot you're from the Big Ten.
But I had to gravitate over to the Village of Castaneda. That hard city life was starting to catch up.
Well, you know what? I've often heard, you know, when it comes to Lock Haven, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
It's up to you. Lock Haven. All right.
Trust me, when I was walking the streets of Lock Haven with a can of paint, Staying Alive was not playing in the background.
Oh, mercy me.
Nothing now like
back,
that.
Now we're back to the suit again. All right. Oh, mercy me. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Again, I don't know what the numbers say. I don't know. The numbers may, as I told you about the Coca-Cola executive talking with Tony Knapp, and he related the story last week. He said, "Look, I have a group of people that crunch numbers and tell me whether or not we should buy it or not." Right? Well, it's not like BTN's not sitting there through Fox. Fox owns 51% of BTN. And they're not crunching numbers, and maybe the numbers are crunching in such a way and tell them that they should only be airing the final. I don't know. Because I cannot tell you what the popularity of it is outside of Pennsylvania and Iowa. I mean, is it going to be popular in Indiana, Illinois, Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, Philadelphia, maybe, Baltimore, Washington, New York? I don't know. I mean, there's no question that that wrestling has a passionate following. But how big is the passionate following? And when it comes to a rating, casual fans are an important part to making up a rating. There's probably a better chance just in today's world that a casual fan might be more interested in a basketball game than wrestling.
Well, I have the BTN TV schedule lined up here for Saturday, and they have that 30-minute highlight show, The Big Show. That's on to 11 a.m. Then they have BTN Basketball in 60. They'll do a condensed version of Iowa-Wisconsin Basketball, 11 to noon.
Then, but again, there's nothing on live that they could air that time anyway.
Yeah. Then there's live gymnastics noon to 2, Iowa State at Iowa.
Right.
College basketball 2 to 4, Michigan State. And then 4 o'clock, the women's basketball tournament. And that's on from 4 o'clock on until...
It's probably the semifinals?
Yeah, they're running two games back-to-back. Yeah, they're running 4 semifinals. And 6. Yes. Yeah, they're running the semifinals back-to-back. And then Saturday night they have Minnesota-Michigan hockey at 8:30 following the women's semifinals. So that's the Saturday schedule. And then another big show at 11 o'clock to wrap everything up Saturday night. So in case you're wondering what they're going to run other than wrestling.
All right.
In years past, though, I thought they did run, they did air some of those earlier rounds, but weren't they on tape delay? But at least they were on. That's the key. At least they were on TV.
Well, again, what they're going to do is...
But I thought with all those earlier rounds, with it being kind of a fluid situation, to make it a nice, tight broadcast, they would have to put it on delay.
Right.
But I could be wrong.
Well, obviously, BTN Plus, BTN To Go will have that.
Yeah, you can choose whatever mat you want to watch, because there's, I think I saw five mats. There's going to be five mats for the early bouts. So you can, whatever bout, whatever individual weight or bout you want to watch, you can choose whatever mat you want to see. So there'll be five different options.
Right. Now, yep. When they show the Big Ten Championship, I don't think they're just going to show the first or second. They'll kick over the third place mat and the fifth place mat. Right? And that's probably what they're going to do.
Yeah. They'll have two mats on, yes, for Sunday afternoon. Yep, one mat for the Kansai bouts and then the other mat for the championships.
Right.
Yep.
So that's what they'll do. I mean, they'll kick over from one mat to the other. My problem is they're not going to show the semifinals. And, I mean, not my problem. I'll be traveling anyway, but... Where's this going to be? In Bloomington? I think that's where it's going to be. Oh. So that's what you've got.
All right. You are correct. Yes, hosted by Indiana. Correct.
Yeah, I believe, I was going to say it's going to be, it rotates. I mean, every 14 years it comes here. Okay, let's bring in Dick in Milton.
Hello, Steve.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. Obviously, Bloomington this weekend for a Big Ten. EIWAs are at Bucknell. That takes into the two of the major conferences in wrestling. Everybody else has their conference tournament somewhere else, and then they all go to St. Louis in two weeks, and they'll sell out 18,000-19,000 seats, whatever it holds, whatever they can hold for wrestling. They configure it a little differently for every sport, obviously, but it's a sellout. But I was going to tell you something about Penn State wrestling fans, who are probably the best wrestling fans in the country, between them and Iowa, I guess. They sell out Rec Hall, standing room only. They could sell out Bryce Jordan for big matches. They won't sell it out for some of the other teams. The other teams in the Big Ten get mediocre support. Some get hardly any.
Okay.
Minnesota, because they all wrestle in something smaller, like Rec Hall, even smaller.
Right.
And I've been to a bunch of them.
Which is smart.
I understand that. I understand that. But what I was going to tell you about Penn State, and this has kind of bothered me for a couple of years, Penn State has an unbelievable fan base for wrestling. So when they go to New York City, like last year, to Madison Square Garden, people who aren't even Penn State wrestling fans per se don't go to the matches because they can't get in, but have lots of Nittany Lion Club points, basically took a lot of tickets from wrestling people that would have gone and supported it. I mean, I know that to be somewhat true. In other words, they gave out the seats for the wrestling, at Madison Square Garden, because it was in the East, to Penn State people who had lots of Nittany Lion Club points who really don't even support the wrestling team because they don't go every week. They can't get in because it's sold out every week. And that's kind of unfair to the people that do support it every week, I thought.
Well, it always comes down to money. You know that, Dick.
I understand that, but those people weren't paying any more money for the actual matches than the other guy from... Let's say the guy goes to every match and supports him, never misses a wrestling match, but doesn't have the number of points because he doesn't attend football and he doesn't get lots of Nate New Lion Club points, so he can't go to Madison Square Garden last year because he doesn't give the amount of money but he gives more money... he's a big wrestling supporter, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And I don't know if there's a fair way to do it.
I don't know if there is either. I've talked about this before. There are two moments that tell me everything about the real fan versus the money fan. And one of them was dealing with the Seattle Mariners, and the other one deals with Wimbledon. one year at Wimbledon, they got so backed up because of rain. This is before they had the roof over court, over center court. They were forced to, for the first time ever, to play on Sunday. Well, nobody has tickets for Sunday. So what they did was they let people in for a nominal fee to watch tennis. And every player tells you that they had more fun playing that day than any day because the atmosphere and the emotion, the real fan sitting in seats they'd never sat in before.
Right, I understand same, that.
Yeah. Same thing with the Seattle Mariners. When the King Dome ceiling tiles came down, the Mariners were forced to play, I believe it was their final 60 games or so, all on the road because they deemed that the King Dome was not safe enough. So what would happen is they play a three-game series at Yankee Stadium, a three-game series in Baltimore. That wasn't scheduled. It was supposed to be in Seattle. So what all these teams did was they charged a flat fee of $20. People would come in. They'd donate the money to a charity. And suddenly, for example, Dick, you could sit 10 rows behind the Orioles dugout for $20, something that would be a pipe dream for you to sit there. And every player tells you they had more fun during those respective three-game series because the real fans were there. Money is something, of course, everybody, you know, every sport needs. That's what they're obviously going for. But it does change the enthusiasm quotient in the arena or the stadium. And it keeps, quote, the real fan out when the real fan could really make it jazzed up and make it exciting for everybody.
Yeah, I understand that. I had one time in Baltimore, they have a scalp-free zone at Camden Yards where you could just go buy a ticket, and nobody can charge more than the actual price of the ticket. They can undersell it, but they can't oversell it. They can't overprice it.
Okay.
You can go, you stand in line like at a cattle auction, and you go up to look at the tickets. If you don't like them, you get back in your spot in line. I got a ticket. There were four of us. My seat was the only person between me and the batter was the umpire, the catcher and the umpire.
It was
like one seat there, and then there were two behind me and three behind there. Behind in Camden, there was a beautiful seat. It was a wonderful seat. Irrespective of that, I wanted to get back just a little bit about wrestling in a sense. I still told you a couple weeks ago, I think wrestling defeats its purpose by not having more college coverage other than flow wrestling where you have to pay the seat literally anything. And I don't think it's really fair. It's probably the least covered of all sports. You can watch more hockey. You can watch more volleyball in a sense. You know.
Well, again, I agree with you on the premise and about the flow wrestling part because, as you know, I brought it up right away that it sets the sport back. What I don't know is what I brought up earlier. What's happening with number crunching when they sit down to look at the ratings of hockey, look at the ratings of wrestling, look at the ratings of basketball, and so forth? And are the ratings numbers and the viewership numbers, and I can't answer this, are they not strong enough to dictate more coverage? I don't know. I think it's a fair question to ask.
I mean, I think the Big Ten Network does an excellent job covering the sports that they cover. They always have like a wrestling match, feature matches on Friday nights, whether it be Minnesota, Iowa. I mean, sometimes the other teams make it. I've seen Maryland on there. I've seen Northwestern. But Penn State was on a couple times. And if they're home, I don't see them because I'm there. Mm-hmm. But it is good. And they'll sell St. Louis out, and it's a nice venue to watch the matches. And I heard a story a few years ago that they were thinking about trying to get all the NCAA wrestling championships at St. Louis, which I know next year it's at Cleveland. I think that's kind of unfair to the Eastern schools personally, but there again, They don't ask me what I think, or they would. I guess. I know St. Louis is a better location for all those Midwestern schools, but it kind of like defeats the Penn States and some of the schools in the East are pretty good. Ohio State, in a sense. But.
Well, that's why I brought up earlier, Dick, about the Big Ten men's basketball tournament. Next week is going to be very interesting for me to see attendance wise, because it is the first time ever in the 20-year history of that tournament that they will have played it outside of either Indianapolis or Chicago, which you and I know is centrally located in this conference. For a fan of Illinois, Indiana, Purdue, Northwestern, sure. Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, even Wisconsin and Minnesota a point, it's a relatively easy drive for them. Washington is not. And it's going to be interesting to see for me in what is a Midwest-centric conference whether people will make the trip to D.C. to watch it. St. Louis, while being centrally located, which is great for Oklahoma State, it's great for Iowa, Iowa State. You're right. When you have a power program like Penn State, which can take over Madison Square Garden like they did last year, I think thinking about centralizing it in St. Louis is not the way to go. I think you've got to go where the fans are. And I think you have to be smart about that because it puts more juice in the building and more juice on TV.
Yeah, I'm not sure who the host. I think Hofstra was the host school when they were at Madison Square Garden. I'm not sure. I might be Missouri. I'm not sure who is the host. Somebody has. They always have some college as the host. I think it's probably University of Missouri, if I was guessing. Irrespective of that, I'll be out there. Yes, I'm excited. Right. Penn State should do well. That's the main thing, you know. I'm hoping they do really well. If Suriano wrestles, they'll win the national championship. If he doesn't wrestle, it might be tighter. They could still win it.
I think he's going to go. I have no idea.
I don't want to comment on, you know, I only know what I read on the message boards. And anyway, that covers my wrestling. I felt bad for the basketball team last night, but
yeah,
that's why they play the whole game.
That's what I mentioned earlier. I've been consistent about it. I haven't wavered one iota on it. The 65 game proposition. That's 30 games in. In next year, do they start swinging those games? And if they start swinging those games, of which they had a lot of them this year, then suddenly your record changes and your perception changes.
I mean, I like the team. I think the team's a good basketball team. They're young, obviously, and young kids play differently than kids that are seniors or fifth-year seniors.
Right.
And barring injuries, and if the kids all stay there, I guess they're academically they'll do okay. And I guess I have no reason. It's not like Kentucky kids that are there for one one season. I'm sure these kids are going to. I don't even know of any more NBA quality kids right off. They might be in a year or two. I don't know. There's only many.
Yeah,
so many
not
kids.
not this minute. They are. There's no question about that.
That's what I meant.
But
they
you know
could
what?
Be down
yeah.
the road.
Yeah, I mean Carr is now ahead of where I thought he would be. Stevens is slightly ahead of where I thought he would be, and I both thought they'd be really good at the end. Watkins is a wild but fun ride to watch on an every game basis. So maybe they start turning that a little bit next year where people are getting excited about wrestling and men's basketball at the same time here, and I think that makes for kind of a cool weekend.
Well, I had season tickets up there the first year or 2 years they opened Bryce Jordan, and it was pretty well full every game when Park Hill was coaching. They were pretty good. They weren't a bad basketball team.
Nope, they got as high as eighth in the country in '96.
Right, they were good, and it was a nice arena. To me, it's not the best spot to watch basketball, but it is what it is. It wasn't Rec Hall by any stretch of the imagination, but they're
getting
it. But they don't get as many people in Rec Hall, but that was a home court advantage. I heard you say about they don't have home court advantage. Well, not many teams playing anything that big do have home court advantage.
Agreed. Volume makes up for it. You go on the road and you see just the volume of people. It does make up for the fact that it's not a perfect small venue. So.
Well, hopefully they'll be better next year. We'll see what happens. Who knows? They could qualify for NCAA by doing well in the Big Ten tournament.
Well, let's just see. That's going to be one wide-open proposition. The wrestling thing won't be as wide open. I mean, Penn State should dominate that thing, especially as Suriano goes. But
they're still going to be very good. You know, they get so many bonus points from a lot of their kids, it's almost like I have an extra kid on the team. Anyhow, all right, I'll let you go, Steve. Thank you.
Dick, thanks. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK as Suit Fest 2017 continues after this.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I don't know about this. Now, I feel like when I hear Mark talk about the kumbaya on the marks, I'm starting to feel like you and I are from Missouri. Show me. I want evidence. I think I'm just going to tune in tomorrow morning. I'm going to find out whether it's true or not. And if it's not, well. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. All right, let's get to the sports bozo of the day. Always fun, always exciting, always entertaining, and always poignant. Sports bozo of the day. Continue to be the... I mean, they really don't have any control over this. But the Philadelphia 76ers, can't they draft anybody that stays healthy? Joel Embiid now is out for the remainder of the season. Ben Simmons hasn't played at all. I mean, is there a team that has worse luck with first picks than the Philadelphia 76ers? Oh, you know, in between Embiid and Simmons, they picked Okafor, who's allergic to defense. So they picked a guy that gets hurt all the time in Embiid. They have a guy that has an allergy, and then they have Simmons. And Okafor has an allergy? Yes, he's allergic to defense. They're my winner today. Sean Morris on the show tomorrow. Looking forward to it. Always, if there's a guy that I run into that makes me laugh more than Sean, I don't know who it is. All right. Let's see. Tomorrow night is the Patriot League quarterfinals, right?
You betcha. 7 o'clock, it'll be Army at Bucknell.
Army. All right. Let's just go out, take care of business, relax, and play. Sounds easy. But there is, actually a reality to that. Look, you win your regular season championship, which then gives you the huge plus of playing at home. There's no question the teams are better at home than they are on the road. That's not a profound statement. Everybody knows it. So you have the huge advantage, and that is your reward for winning. But you know what? But there's also much more pressure on Bucknell than anybody else in this tournament. Much more pressure. They're the number one seed. I mean, tell me what pressure Army has on it. It's like, okay, fine. We just let it all hang out and play. And, you know, if we win, we get to advance. If we lose, all right, it's over. We weren't expected to win anyway. The game pressure is, you know, it's going to be squarely on for the next 120 minutes. It's going to be squarely on Bucknell. They earn that by being the regular season champion. But it also does play into it all the way through. I mean, the game pressure every time out is going to be on them. They're the favorite. Well, if you go out and you take care of business early and you use your home court to your advantage and the whole thing, you play your game, you'd be amazed about, you know, that you can just kind of take care of business and move on. But you get to a tight game. In a tight game, which is always a distinct possibility this time of the year because everybody has renewed life, the game pressure falls in the favorite. I've seen it over and over again. And here's one other part that's tough. One thing about these tournaments, the team that wins the opening game of the tournament has automatic momentum. Army won, they have momentum. So just keep that in mind. Joe in Greensburg. Joe, it is a pleasure to hear from you again. I hope everything's well.
Good. Everything's good, Steve. But touch base a little bit about the basketball team. My biggest worry going into next year is I still don't know if they got a shooter. I think that they're lacking that 3-point shooter, and it doesn't seem like there's anybody on the horizon coming in. Is that something that Coach Chambers is addressing and trying to address?
He has tried to address it every year since he got there.
Yeah.
I mean, he has tried to address it every year because he understands how the game is played today and how important the three-point line is. I mean, you have to be good all over the place, but if you have a good three-point shooter out there, it actually makes your inside game more effective because you spread the floor out more, and he knows that. The key is going to be there will be a couple things that come into play next year, Joe. Number one, Penn State should be better next year. Year more experience, it's going to make a big difference. Carr's probably a little bit better than I thought he'd be. Stevens is about the same, maybe a little bit better than I thought he'd be. They both made great strides. And I think Watkins then becomes a viable low post option probably starting next year as well, where you can like run a set play for him, you know what I mean?
Right.
And Reeves plays his game, and defensively, he's critical to what they want to do defensively. I think next year you'll see Penn State be better, but it's also an intriguing year, Joe, because I see some teams in the Big Ten that come back to the pack a little bit.
Yep.
Now it really becomes jumbled. So now can you take those seven games, which went down to the final possession or to overtime, and can you swing at minimum two of them where you're 3-4 in those games, or maybe even 4-3 in those games? In other words, not pie in the sky. But that's enough to swing an entire season by doing that. So the question will be, does experience swing that your way? Obviously, you're counting on that. And I talked about the example of the 11-3 and 5 points or less in 2009, followed by 3-14 and 6 points or less in 2010, and then swinging it back the other way in 11 when they went to the NCAA tournament. That's how fine a line it can be sometimes.
Yeah, but I see what you're saying, and it was very frustrating this year because they could have easily won 20 games. Easily could have won 20 games if things went their way. But I also think that their upperclassmen have failed them a little bit this year.
Yep.
In a lot of games,
mm-hmm. And that's where your shooters are, and that's
right.
Where your shooters are that you're talking about, Joe. That's the Shep Garner being more consistent, and Shep knows he has to be more consistent. It's where Peyton Banks gave them a little bit more than I thought he would this year, but a consistency out of Peyton Banks. If you can have those two guys shooting consistently well, which you're bringing up properly, and I completely agree with you. I think that then changes the dynamics on the floor, but they've been too inconsistent out there where you don't feel you can count on them.
Right. Well, the thing that bothers me about those two guys, when they're not hitting those 3-point shots, they've got the ability to go to the basket, and they don't do it. And they could draw a lot more fouls and get to the foul line a lot more. And I think that's what's lacking with those two. With Garner and Banks, if they see the shots not going down, I mean, I've seen Banks when he goes to the basket, he can create some things, and so can't Garner, and they just don't do it enough, and I think that's really hurt him also.
I agree with that, and there were 2 points last night where Dick Girardi made the point where Shep settled for a three, where if he'd taken it to the bucket, he would have done exactly what you said, so I agree with your point.
Yeah, and that brings me to two questions, and I'll let you go. Is that coaching? Not, I mean, shouldn't Chambers be telling these guys, "Hey, take it to the basket"? That's. I love Coach Chambers, but that's starting to bother me a little bit. I see that too often with this team, where they're just chucking up threes and they're not going in. Go to the basket. I mean, they're just not doing it, and it bothers me a lot.
Well,
that and the other question.
I
got the other question, and you can answer. is Terrence Samuels. Where's he been?
Okay, so we'll start with Terrence Samuel first. He got sick at one point in the middle of the season, and what happened through practice is that he got passed out. So he got passed out by Isaiah, and he got passed out by Davis. He is available to play, and it is not a disciplinary situation. But he got sick in the middle of the season. He got passed out by a couple of other guys, and that's what, you know, and that's played into it. The first part of your question dealt with coaching. Obviously, I'm at a lot of practices, almost all of them, and they are coached to do what you just talked about. But the difference is that you have to instinctively build that self into your game, and some players are not instinctive. And at times, Shep Garner is not instinctive. At times, Peyton Banks is not instinctive. I mean, they finally got Peyton Banks mid-season to get a shot fake. And you know how many times in practice I've heard them say, Peyton, use a shot fake. Peyton, use a shot fake. I've heard it over and over and over. They've got to then, on the floor, take it to the next spot because they are telling them in practice and in shoot-arounds, and in film sessions, of which I've sat in on all three, it's brought up every time, just like you brought it up.
Okay, well, I just, it's been a frustrating year. I mean, I love watching them, but again, last night was a tough one.
Yes, it was. It was very, very frustrating. As someone who's seen one or two of them in my lifetime, I'm with you.
All right, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. It's always a pleasure. JC in Sealands Grove is next. Hi, JC. How are you today?
Hey, Steve. How are you doing today?
It's great to hear you, JC.
Hey, listen, I hate to shift gears on you, but I got off work and I haven't been listening to the radio. I caught the tail end of your Penn State conversation, and I apologize if maybe you talked about this already or to death, but I was thinking about it, and I just wanted to catch your thoughts on a couple things. I'm a big Chicago Bears fan, probably one of the few in Pennsylvania, but I was born and raised there, and I rooted for them through all the losing seasons. And Steve, I got to tell you, the last years with Cutler, it turned my head white because it's so frustrating. The guy's got below average to average, you know, statistics. He's not that great of quarterback. The Bears have never drafted a good quarterback, much less never drafted a franchise quarterback. So I was wondering your thoughts on, one, what's Jay Cutler's situation? Is he going to leave? Are the Bears going to get a new quarterback? And who do you think they're going to pick up? And the other thing I want to touch on real quick is the quarterback situation in San Francisco. I want to talk a little bit about Kaepernick. I know it's been beat into the ground, but I'm a veteran. And to see him take a knee, it put a bad taste in my mouth. And to be honest with you, I shut the NFL off for quite a few weeks this season. But, you know, I was a quarterback in high school and I was a quarterback in college. And, you know, quarterback's a team leader and they rally around him. And, you know, a lot of the guys adopt the same views as the quarterback because he's a team leader. So to point the finger just at Kaepernick, I think the problem in San Francisco goes much deeper than just their quarterback and a few players. It has to go directly into their management and all the way maybe to their front office. Yeah, it's sad that athletes get paid that much money and they drop to a knee and don't respect the fallen soldiers. You know, that's so disrespectful. So I'm sorry I ranted on you. I know you only have a few minutes, so I'm going to turn it over to you and let you try to answer the plethora of questions I asked.
Well, those great questions, by the way, and I really appreciate the fact you jumped in. Let's start with Kaepernick. You know what's interesting, JC, is that at the Penn State-Michigan game, Michigan was on the near sideline, so I really couldn't see it. And somebody said, boy, they showed on TV several Michigan players kneeling down. And I said, I don't know. I had my hand over my heart and stood for the national anthem. So I use myself as a standard. That's my standard. And if my standard is different than his standard. And my standard is that my father served in the Marine Corps. My mother did some work in the military at one point, you know, early in life. And I was always taught to do that. That's what I do. I don't care what he does. I really don't. And what's happened is that he's getting all the publicity for doing it. You'd be amazed at what happens when you ignore it. And you also made your choice, JC, as if you were saying, I don't want to watch it. you've made your statement that you completely disagree with him. Your statement is a powerful one because ratings for the NFL were down 8% overall this year, and were down even more so until the end of the season. So you weren't the only one turned off by what they saw in the NFL this year, and that was part of the reason. Now, as for the Bears quarterback, Jay Cutler will not be the quarterback for the Bears next season. He is not going to be the quarterback. They say it's fluid. Well, fluid what? I think there's a better chance of Matt Barkley starting the year at quarterback for the Bears than there is Jay Cutler. And I don't think there's a quarterback available in this draft that makes a difference. And it turns out there are two thin areas in this draft, JC. One is offensive line. The other one is quarterback. And I'm not so sure there's a hit in there like a Carson Wentz in this draft that they could turn it around now, unless they can maybe get themselves, if they're really high on DeShone Kizer of Notre Dame. If they're high on DeShone Kizer of Notre Dame, that might be the guy you're looking at, because a lot of people have become very plus on him, that they really like him a lot. And if the Bears look at him and think he's the answer, he might be your answer.
Hey, you know what? I take anybody, and just for the record, you know, puke is fluid too. I'm just saying.
And with that, I'll take a commercial break.
All right, Steve, have a great day. Thanks for taking
you
the call.
You too, JC. Thanks. That was great. Thanks. We'll come back with more in a moment and wrap it up on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right. Some great calls here down the stretch, huh? I mean, great calls. Joe, JC, Dick, great to hear from all of you today. It's a fun hour for me. Now, that's what I call fun, where I get to interact with people and talk back and forth and knock it around with some real sports fans that... Poor JC being a Bears fan.
Yeah, it's funny, you and I were talking about the Bears during the break, and you get rid of one gunslinger in Jay Cutler, and really you got one quarterback that's getting a lot of hype and pub going into the combine is the kid from Texas Tech, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he is. But the problem with Cutler is Cutler looks miserable all the time. Like, I really don't want to be here. I don't want to interact with my teammates. He doesn't seem like, on the surface, there are any leadership qualities there. I don't know. I'm just talking, just observing him. I mean, I've never been in the same room with the guy. But just observing him on TV, it's just, I'm making the money, that's fine. I'll throw the ball, that's good. Okay, did we win? Oh, well. And, of course, in Chicago, he's never going to live down not playing the second half of the Green Bay game in the NFC Championship game. Now, I can't tell you all the reasons, pro and con, as to what happened on that. I'm just saying he won't live it down. Sean Morris on the show tomorrow. on the mark in the morning. There will be no kumbaya. They're going to go right back at it, I'm telling you. Sean thinks it's all going to be mornings of wine and roses. I'm like, no way.
They're just envious of what we do here in the afternoon. They're trying to emulate.
Look, I understand they're trying to emulate the winning formula,
mm-hmm.
but they just don't have the discipline to pull it off.
Is that why they have Reichley in on Friday to finish the week?
Oh, that's called finishing it off. Right? That finishes Mark off for the whole week. You can laugh, Mark. We're having fun.
Your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.